Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, your co-host and producer of the program, and this is your hour. What we mean by that is this is what we started out to do almost 20 years ago, and that was give you a chance to ask your question about your computer, about getting on the Internet, getting around it, and sometimes getting over it. Whatever you may be struggling with right now, we'd love to give you a hand. 800-859-0957 is the number. Give us a call. Welcome aboard hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and this is my favorite part of the program, to be honest with you, because this is when we get to talk with you, our listeners, and we get to talk with you about your computers and the problems or challenges you may be having with your computer, and it may be with your printer, it may be with almost anything, and then we get to pitch in, and all the technical experience that's gathered together here in this studio that has served people for so many years gets to be focused on your problem. The number, of course, is 800-859-0957. And my plea at the beginning of the program is to please get your question in early. I mean, even if you don't have everything all pulled together, just, you know, get the basics and we'll help you walk through it. Because inevitably, in the last 15 minutes of the program, we have all sorts of people clamoring to get into the program and to ask questions, and we just flat run out of time. So if you can get on board right now, please do. We'll be here until 7 o'clock this evening, and it is our pleasure to take your questions and to do our very best to give you an answer. 800-859-0957.
Just like voting in Chicago, call early, call often.
And our reminder is that the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. So many times the question you ask helps so many, many different people. Cal, as a matter of fact, this week we're lining up our first caller here in just a moment, but you had a question that you answered that came in through email this month.
Yes, so Mr. John Rosa sent in a question, and his question was, let's see here. I just purchased a Samsung Chromebook, and it's great from a personal standpoint, and it has replaced my laptop. I still use my regular laptop for all my business work. What is your opinion on Google Chromebooks with Android applications as a coming replacement of laptops or as a laptop and tablet combination? Will this be the coming thing, or is it just a fad?
Aha! And a less expensive fad, I should say, than a lot of the ones that are out there. So what was your response?
Well, my response to him was basically, it's like any other system out there. If people find a real value in that particular system, whatever it might be, whether it's Windows, whether it's Mac, whatever that sort of thing, then they'll start to adopt it. And as they start to adopt it, more and more other people will adopt it and become more popular. And then, therefore, it'll become a standard. If that doesn't happen, then it probably won't grow. My personal feelings is that, you know, a majority of people out there are looking for something cheap,
yep,
that will work for them, or free, even, mm-hmm, if they can find it. And in that particular case, this might be a deal for them that just might work out. How many people will adopt it? Don't know. That's still left out there in the cosmos, mm, to figure out. I personally like to stick with the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Apple's my preference, mm-hmm, and if Apple's not around, then Microsoft is definitely my second choice.
Mm.
I haven't gotten to the point where I want to venture off onto some of the other venues, because, yeah, I'm kind of a mainstream sort of guy. So, you know, whatever system he chooses, as long as it gets the job done for him and, yep, does it in a quick and efficient manner, and he can be able to carry on business and that sort of thing, then, you know, it's open for debate.
Yeah, it's all what you want to do with the thing. If you just
want to
browse the internet, get email, social media with people, download the occasional game from the App Store,
mm-hmm,
either with Google Play or the Android Play Store, or, mm-hmm, yeah, the Play Store or Apple's App Store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen it mainstream into business. No, no. I don't get
in
around.
In education, it's
I don't get around as much as Gary does. He sees a lot more of the IT business world than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So my focus is kind of narrow. But I haven't seen it fully adopted in a business environment full stream.
No, well, that may change.
Like a Microsoft, yeah, sort of thing.
Now, what was the Microsoft announcement last week that they're supposed to come up with the Microsoft
Well, yes, their new laptop is called the Surface laptop, and it's running Windows 10S.
That's it. Windows 10S. But you think of that as, what was the, you know, when Microsoft first released its...
Windows RT?
Windows RT. Yeah, that's right. What I'm sort of thinking it's like. Yep. Instead of calling it RT, there, you know, what letter comes between R and T? And they threw the S in there.
Or right. For schools.
That's as good a reason as any.
Yeah. So, and RT did not take off because their app store did not take off.
That, I think, is again going to be the big thing. Matter of fact, we're having to move Ginny out of her Windows phone, which she loves, and which has been working well for her, because a pop-up came up the other day and said that Windows Facebook Messenger will not be extended on the platform anymore.
Right. Okay, so, here I go again. I'm sorry. I got to do this. You know, about 2 years ago, the Surface thing came out, and Microsoft was saying, you know, those Mac notebooks, you don't need those. Those Mac laptops, you don't need them because you can get a Surface. And now they make a Surface laptop. I wonder.
And it's this, by the way, is the cheap end at $999.
The Surface, but the new Windows 10S platform will run comparable to the Android or the Google
Chromebooks.
Thank you, Gary. For about $179. Okay. I mean, that's their target price. Yeah.
Yeah. Will it run on its own, or will it be dependent upon Microsoft's cloud?
It's going to be dependent upon their store, their cloud.
And their cloud.
It's all cloud based.
So it's going to be kind of a clone of what Google did with the Chromebook.
Yeah, exactly. And they're trying to go head to head with them.
You got
to
copy success.
Well, and like so many other things that are being done in a tablet fashion, right?
We're being
pushed to the cloud. Everybody is. Every vendor out there is pushed.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break here. We've got a couple people lined up. Mary from Rochester and Frank from St. Clair Shores will be with you in a second. And there's now space for you as well at 800-859-0957. We'll be back to start taking your calls in just a moment. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown and gang in here, and let's go right to our callers. Again, thank you very much for getting involved early in our process here. And Mary from Rochester, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and you get to start stuff going. How are you doing this afternoon?
Hi, thank you so much. Oh my gosh, I need help.
Yes.
So I have four old computer towers down in my basement, and the day's coming up to where I can dump them, you know, and on the day where they take them out of your trunk. Mm-hmm. How do I get all of my information off of these things? They're not hooked up anymore. They're not, I mean, they're old.
Okay. Like when you say old, like how old?
Well, the computer I have is older than I'm using, actually, but probably 10 years old, 11, 12.
Okay. So when you say, how do I get my information off? Do you want to recover the information so that you can retain it, or you want to get the information off so no one steals it?
I do not need to retain it. I just need to clean it off so that I can get rid of it and no one can get my information.
Okay, good. That's an excellent. Thank you, Ed, for asking that question, because it's an important distinction.
How computer savvy are you, young lady?
Not. Well, I mean, I can use a computer, but to do something like that, I don't know.
Well, I mean, do you know how to use a Phillips head screwdriver hammer?
Oh, yes. I've thought about crushing it up with a hammer.
Well, there's only one piece you need to crush up.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Once you open it up, Gary.
But you could use something else too, right?
Well, she could get that Derek's CD. Yeah. She could download
the
Derek's.
What did you tell her about
that? If you can get onto the internet with your other with your newer older computer that you're using and go to dban.net.
Yeah, dban.net.
Yep. And you're going to download a product called Derek's Boot and Nuke. That's B-O-O-T, the letter N, and then Nuke, N-U-K-E. Follow the instructions for downloading that so you can burn a CD with that. So you're going to need one blank CD to do it with. And then once you burn that CD, you can take those computers, and as long as you have at least one monitor, a keyboard, and a mouse, hook it up to each, you know, hook up one of those CPUs, one of the towers, turn it on and put that CD in it and boot it with that CD. And then just select the selection that says auto nuke.
Right. Because, and I believe the website actually will provide you instructions on how do I force my computer to boot off my CD. Mm-hmm. And he provides written instructions, if not a video, on how to do that with different manufacturers. So, okay. I mean, that's helpful too.
So that's one method. Yeah, you don't have to do anything physical with that. The nice thing.
Yeah.
By the way, that's free, isn't it?
It's absolutely free. And what that will do is it will go and look at your hard drive and then write ones and zeros across the entire platter multiple times, covering your data up and making it go away.
And the other method that I was alluding to was a Phillips screwdriver to open the back of the tower or the computer, mm-hmm. and then locating the disk drive or the hard drive that's in the computer and physically removing that. And that's pretty easy to do. You can actually just go to YouTube and you type in, like, if one of your desktop towers is like a Hewlett Packard, you could say, how do I remove my hard drive out of my HP desktop computer, such and such? And you'll find a YouTube video that'll show you how to remove that hard drive. Right. You can either retain that hard drive, or a lot of these recycling places, if you bring the hard drives, sometimes they actually have hard drive shredders right there. So you can not only donate your equipment, mm-hmm. but when you show them the hard drives, you could call and say, do you have hard drive shredders available? These things are amazing. Think of a paper shredder.
Incredible.
And but you could stick something in there about double the size of a piece of toast.
Just a quick question. This is in Rochester, right, Mary? Were you?
Yes.
Okay. Is this a citywide event that they have?
It's coming up, and I don't have the dates, but I believe it's the hazardous waste material.
Yes, right.
I'm sure this would qualify.
Yes, exactly. You take it to someplace and
out of your trunk. It's going to be at Oakland University in my area.
Okay.
Call them ahead of time and ask them what do they do with the hard drives that are in the computer.
Yeah, you may not have to do anything.
They may shred it for you. Mm-hmm. Or they may say, no, we don't shred it. You have to, take care of that data yourself. If that comes up to be an issue, you may want to contact Great Lakes Recycling, or GLR, in Roseville, Michigan. And they, I believe, will, as Ed said, shred that computer up for you.
Shred the computer or even the hard drive. I mean, like I said, the best thing to do with your hard drives, if you want to get rid of them, is you just put it on a piece of concrete and use a hammer and smash it once with safety glasses on, of course. And then no one will be able to recover data off that thing.
It depends on how dramatic you want to be.
Yeah.
Okay, Mary, we gave you a few options there. Hope they help you, okay?
Yes, it helps me a great deal. I thank you so much. I didn't know what to do, and it's time to get rid of those things.
All right, a little spring cleaning is what you need out there. Our number here, by the way, 800-859-0957. Let's go to Frank in St. Clair Shores. Frank, how may be of service to you?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
A well-meaning friend of mine came over and took my computer home to fix it. And install Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
And since he did that, my wireless connection between my computer and my HP printer, which sits next to it, it will not stay connected. I've ran Print Scan Doctor 50 times.
Sure.
It just will not stay connected. My laptop, on the other hand, no problem. Hmm. But
Frank, your laptop is running Windows 10?
No, my laptop is running Windows 8.
Okay. So what happened is, after the Windows 10 update, after one of your computers was upgraded to Windows 10, it no longer could communicate wirelessly to the printer sitting right next to it. And usually what you have to do is you have to go to the manufacturer's website and download the software again for that particular printer and then run through the setup again. And we talked about this last week because my brother-in-law, the same thing happened to him. And basically, during that setup process, as for an example, if this was a Hewlett Packard, it'll actually say, the software will actually scan the network for the printer and establish a connection. Mm-hmm. If it cannot find it, it'll ask you to hook up a USB cable to it so it can configure the printer to communicate properly with Windows 10 over a wireless network.
Is this an HP printer?
It's an HP printer. The printer works fine. It is my computer.
Right. Do you know which model number that printer is?
It is HP OfficeJet Pro 8620.
Okay. Go to the HP website and look for that particular printer. You're going to go to HP.com, click on support, then go to softwares and drivers, and then you're going to put in that the name of that printer, OfficeJet, and the model number. And what it'll do, it'll ask you which operating system you're using. You'll say Windows 10. And then it's going to lead you to something called HP Easy Start.
Mm-hmm.
And what Easy Start will do is you'll download that program on your computer, on your desktop, and it will walk you through the process. It will say, do you want to hook this up on a wire or do you want to do it wirelessly? And if you say wirelessly, then it'll go out, like Ed said, look at the wireless network and find that printer for you. Get the IP address on it, configure it, and set it all up right on your Windows 10
computer. Now, should
computer.
He delete his old printer definition that Windows 10 has? Should go into the devices and faxes and then remove his existing printer definition? Because I would recommend that.
To keep it clean, because what it's going to do, it'll be like HP OfficeJet, and then it'll be HP OfficeJet number one.
Yeah.
So, get rid of that first.
Remove device or remove printer.
Remove that old printer driver off there, and then download that Easy Start for that printer. You'll be surprised. It is so smooth. It works really, really good.
Okay, Frank?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Frank. And I hope that, again, this is something we've dealt with in the past. And I, by the way, I agree with you entirely. Uninstall the first printer that's there. Just get that out of the system. And you're not going to ruin anything. You're not going to hurt anything. And then use the Easy Install to set it up and get the device working properly. Okay, we have lines open right now at 800-859-0957. And follow the example of Mary and Frank and give us a call. And we will get you on the air and answering your questions in just a moment. Again, the number is 800-859-0957. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor, our question and answer time. And we can't give you answers unless you ask the questions. So please do take advantage of that number, 800-859-0957. Dean from Dundee will be with you in just a moment. First of all, thank you, Danielle Mason, who is our engineer. Good to have you aboard. And also Logan Stanifer, who is our producer, the friendly voice that answers the phone when you call in that number of 800-859-0957. And remember, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Okay, we got it. And by the way, on Sunday nights, usually Sunday night late, I post the entire podcast of the program so you can listen to both hours of it.
And it's great beside a crackling fire with some hot chocolate, just kind of sitting there listening to Foster's dulcet tones coming through the radio, through your headphones of your computer. It's just wonderful.
All right, back to the calls, and let's say hello to Dean from Dundee. Welcome to our program, Dean. How can we help you here at the Internet Advisor?
Hello, Internet Advisors. You guys are always great. I learned so much listening to your fantastic show.
Oh, thank you. What can we do for you today?
I hope it's a simple question. I'm kind of a novice, but I have a phone provider that using my internet access out in the rural area of Dundee, and I connect my laptop to it sometimes, but my laptop is running XP. So I'm kind of concerned maybe I should get a newer laptop because it might be at risk due to not supporting it.
Right. So you have a laptop right now, it's probably an older one, that is running Windows XP, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I connect through the phone company that gives me a mobile hotspot.
Oh, okay. Is this through a cellular network?
Yes.
Okay. And you're having difficulty. Sometimes it's difficult to connect.
No difficulties. Everything works good. I'm just wondering if I'm at risk using XP because there's not a lot of security from what I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're cruising the internet, you're at risk, okay? That's just clear and simple that way. If you weren't using the computer for the internet, let's say you were just using it for an application where you just sat at home and, I don't know, did publishing of wedding programs or something like that, and it was all internal, then it wouldn't be a problem at all. And I'd say if that was working for you, continue to ride it till it dies. But if you really want to be dealing with the internet and being out and that sort of thing and making sure you can get support for stuff, it's probably time to consider getting a, and you can get a laptop nowadays for, I mean, a really nice one for about $400 or $500, and it'll last you for a good long while.
Right, and then even then, you can get a, like you said, the cheaper laptops or the Google Chromebooks for under $200.
You probably
so time to bury the XP system. Then that's what you're saying.
Yeah, and Dean, by the way, I would say, and we've said this before, don't go for the cheapest computer out there.
Right,
you know, you're going to be underpowered and. I think you're going to, you know, regret it in the sense that it may be slower, et cetera. But you're going to end up, I think we talked, guys, didn't we say about $450, $500 would be like a decent, for a decent system? A refurbished, for instance,
if
let's
you're,
say.
If you're willing to take a drive from Dundee up to Madison Heights on at I-75 and 14 Mile to a place called Micro Center, you can see a number of different laptops there, and you can compare the low end to the high end and get a good idea what's going on between the all the different makes and models. And then you can make the decision for yourself. I always say, if you normally keep a laptop as long as you've been keeping that one, then you probably want to do something from the middle toward the high end. And the reason why I say that is because you want a machine that's going to be able to give you some growth, some longevity, and that type of situation where you can put extra memory in it later on or a larger hard drive. And you want it to have a fast enough processor that's going to last you for a while.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate it. You guys have a good evening. Good weekend. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dean. Glad to have you. By the way, Dean is down close to Toledo. And if you want to head south down there, you've got, I'm sure, Best Buy, and there are probably maybe some folks down in the Toledo area can recommend.
There might be a Micro Center closer in Ohio for them to drive to as well.
That's a good question. You don't have to look it up.
Well, yeah, but you can get these at any. You can get them at Sam's Clubs. They have comparisons.
That's good. And Costco.
Costco's.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Memberships. You can go there and then just compare. But like I said, tablets are even. You know, even a new tablet would be zippier than a Windows XP system
trying to crawl
the internet.
We've heard good things, by the way, about Lenovo's and about Asus has got some nice laptops that are out right now. Jared from South Lyon, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we be of service?
Hello, it's nice to talk with you guys again. I called in about a month ago about the Moto G5 Plus, and I actually got that phone, so I have a little update on how things have gone with it.
Oh, yeah, the Moto G5 Plus. Okay, yeah. That is the Moto, that is the, what's it, Google phone? It's
Lenovo.
Yeah, it's put out. Oh, it's by Lenovo. Okay, okay.
What operating system? Is that Android?
Yep, it is. It ships with the newest one right out of the box. I had to do a minor update yesterday, but I think it was just updating some text.
Tell us a little bit about your experience so far. How's it been going for you?
It went really well. I waited about a week after I got it to get the SIM card put in, but I was able to set up everything without an issue. It works really fast. The operating system only takes up a little over, 10 gigs on the phone itself, so you still have, I got the 64
Good.
Gigabyte memory,
mm-hmm.
and it still had 53, almost 54 left after the operating system. So,
now, did it come with a bunch of pre-installed applications, or is it known for not having those pre-installed?
I know that Amazon Prime was offering a phone that was coming with some pre-installed, but I got mine directly from the company.
Right.
And
I mean, that's the benefit, is you don't have all that junkware on there.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. Granted, it was $80 cheaper on Prime, but you have to deal with all of that, and I don't know if you can actually remove any of it. So,
yeah, good. That's a very good point. And you went right to the company, which means you went to where?
Motorola.com. They were bought by Lenovo a few years ago, so Lenovo deals with all of that, but Motorola is still kind of its own thing.
That's what I've heard about the Moto, the Moto G5, et cetera, is that, as you were saying, Ed, that it has less of a junkware on it.
Mm-hmm.
We used to call it crapware.
Right.
And, you know, you have less of that taking up space.
Well, you know, but I also noticed with my Samsung S7, it had very little of that on there.
Oh, good.
And what was on there, I was able to uninstall it using the Nougat or Nougat operating system. I could uninstall I hate to say this, but all the ESPN apps and stuff like that, it didn't come pre-installed this time with all that stuff on there.
What is that what is that sensor on the back of the telephone? Is that a touch sensor for fingerprint, or is that it, where the camera is?
The camera on the back of the phone with the flash underneath it, it was a nice change for me because I went from the Droid Max to this. The Max didn't actually come with a flashlight. You couldn't actually access it through the default wear on the phone.
Oh, wow.
So I had to download a flashlight after that. So it was just, that was something that was fun for me.
Hey, Jared, how much did this cost? Could you mind telling us what this cost?
The phone itself was $317. If you're a student, they have a student discount.
Mm-hmm.
They have, the website was very nice and streamlined. The 32 gig, I believe, is the smaller one. That was only about $260, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Those are good prices for these. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this in the studio among the guys here, that smartphones nowadays, even the basic ones, are running. I mean, they're great.
Right.
You know, before, you had to give up so much to get a less expensive phone. Now, going directly to the company, as you did, going to Motorola, you're getting a really nice phone, which has got, you know, lots of RAM in it, and it's got lots of space, and it's a good deal.
Now, how are you protecting your phone? Did you purchase an additional insurance with it, or did you go with a great, you know, protective case for it?
I got the insurance with the, I think it was a 20% discount. Don't yell at me if I'm wrong with the student discount. But with that, I got the year and a half plan for the phone because I figured in a year and a half's time, either I'm just going to keep going on and I'm not going to have any issues, or I'll move on to a new one.
Yeah.
Is the phone water resistant?
It's splash resistant, I believe. It didn't really say a whole lot about it. I'm not tempted to try it.
And you're not taking showers with it, then. In other words,
you're not going to take it scuba diving, huh?
No.
Well,
Samsung can have their 6 foot under phone.
Well, continue to work with it, and give us a call back in about a month and let us know how it's working out for you.
It sounds like good advice, though, Jared. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. The only issue I found so far is there's not a whole lot of cases yet.
Okay. Good point. Thanks so much, Jared from South Lyon, rather, for being with us. All right, let's head down to Toledo and talk with Joe from Toledo. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Joe. How may we be of service? Hello, Joe. Are you there?
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
No, I can.
You must have had a Tony Paco's hot dog and couldn't put it down fast enough.
It was on my end. But anyways, I got from a relative that got rid of their laptop in IdeaWorks. I remember it used to work really great. At IdeaWorks, external Wi-Fi antenna to get range for external for Wi-Fi signal. The only problem is they don't know where the disk is. And I think it might have even been in the computer when they got rid of it. So when I plug it into my Dell Latitude laptop, it doesn't recognize it. And I don't know. It's kind of an off-brand. I don't know. I can't find out how to get the computer to recognize it.
I got it. Okay, so this is an external Wi-Fi antenna?
Yes, and the brand is IdeaWorks. Yep.
Well, is it just an antenna, or is it the whole Wi-Fi wireless card and antenna built into one?
It just looks like an antenna with it has a pretty long cord, like about a 15-foot cord, and it plug it in, and I remember my relative told me that they said it had come with a disc, and you put the disc in.
You know, it really sounds like this is a wire, a USB. If you're plugging it in, and you're plugging it in through the USB port?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So, yeah, you might want to, have you just tried searching the internet for IdeaWorks and typing in the model number to see if you could find the driver for it? Because that's really all Windows needs is the driver for that.
Oh, okay. I put it in, but it doesn't have a model number on it. It's pretty faded, and I can't seem to find it online other than people selling it.
Really?
But I can't seem to find the anything about any installation information.
Yeah. In matter of fact, I'm having a hard time finding IdeaWorks that looks like the proper thing. We're gonna take a little more look at this.
Yeah.
Because I'm finding like promotional sites, et cetera.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I'm getting, when you're using Google, you would get that. You would get a lot of people that want to sell you the same thing on eBay or Amazon. But if you use Bing, then you get, what I would recommend is use Bing and then look at the images. And usually you could see what the model number is and try to match it up with yours. And then you can search for the driver for that IdeaWorks, because that's what Windows really needs, is the driver for that USB.
By the way, I've just gone on to Amazon, and I'm finding that there they list the IdeaWorks long-distance USB-powered Wi-Fi antenna.
Yeah.
For about $45.
Yep.
So you might go there, Joe, and check out what Amazon has, and you might find more information.
And what you're looking for is the model number. Once you do that, then you can Bing for the model number and find the drivers.
All right, Joe. Thanks for being.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being with us. Mary Ann from Clinton Township will be back to talk with you in just a moment after we come back from these messages. Our number again, 800-859-0957. I want to give a tip of the hat again to Danielle Mason, who is our engineer here, and to Logan Stanifer, who is our producer and is the person on the other end of the phone when you call in. And by the way, we have room still for maybe a couple more people. And good. Glad to see someone's ringing in there. 800-859-0957.
And it goes back to the old saying, behind a great man, there's two great women.
That's right. Yeah, we need all the help we can get. Absolutely. All right, let's go back to our phones and to Mary Ann from Clinton Township. Mary Ann, how may we be of service to you?
Yes, sir. Thank you for answering my questions.
Sure.
I was just listening earlier to a lady. She was asking how to take out her hard drive and possibly mm-hmm. destroy it because she didn't need the information anymore.
Yes.
And you had suggested, I kind of like the idea about the smashing. Maybe I can get a little bit of my aggressions out.
There you go.
In a constructive way.
Yes, exactly it.
now, I'm not computer savvy. And mm-hmm. another thing I have to tell you, I'm on my cell phone, so if I... You know, cut off. It's not I'm hanging up. It's just that may happen. But
that's fine.
I think I'll be fine.
Yep.
The thing is, when I need a Phillips screwdriver, correct? Can you explain that to me again?
Go ahead. Well, it depends if you have a laptop or a desktop.
This is a desktop.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll make sure, of course, it's unplugged. But there are plenty of videos on YouTube that will basically show you how to, like, upgrade memory or add a secondary hard drive to a desktop computer. So you can go to YouTube and search for, like, who's the manufacturer of this older desktop computer that you have? Dell, HP?
This is an Asus.
An Asus. Perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how do I add replace the drive in my Asus? So they're going to tell you, they're going to show you step by step how to remove the cover.
Well, you got to give it the model number.
Model number two, or something close to the model number, mm-hmm. Asus
right.
5110 or whatever. And you'll find something similar enough to be able to show you that you need a Phillips head screwdriver and then where the hard drive is physically located in there and how to remove the hard drive and,
right.
and then how to use what my dad used to call a cornering tool, because a cornering tool, for people that aren't in the construction business, is usually a 15 or 16 pound sludge. And what you do is when you're building a house, you bang the side of the house to make the corner straight. So it's called a cornering tool. So
okay.
Anyway, so you can use a hammer or you could take it to a recycling place and they will shred it for you. As well.
Right.
But there's like you said, there's a great deal of satisfaction.
Where do you live at again?
Clinton Township.
It's Clinton Township.
Oh, just drive down to Roseville. Go to Great Lakes Recycling. They'll take care of it down there.
Right. That's what I had heard someone had mentioned. And that would be another idea.
Sure.
Now, with that, she said that was in the actual computer or was that the tower?
It's inside the tower.
Yeah.
Oh, it is in the tower.
Yeah, the box that sits down on the floor.
Yeah.
So you pull all the cords off of it, especially mm-hmm. that one that goes into the wall for the 120.
Right, right.
And then you just go inside and have a ball.
Yeah, there's usually four screws on the back of the tower.
Sometimes she gets lucky and it'll end up being one big old thumb screw.
Yeah.
And then some of the old Dells, you didn't even have to have a screwdriver to get that hard drive out. You just kind of pop the little slides and it popped right out.
Right, exactly. And
then
and normally in those older machines, the hard drive is actually seated in a couple of rails. It slides in, so you loosen the screws to hold it in.
Right, and that's what's important about watching a YouTube video. Once you watch a YouTube video on how someone... it's so simple.
Yep. Right,
why did I pay that guy $120 to do that last time? I could have done it myself.
Exactly.
Right. And I do that too, and I heard that, what you had mentioned. And so I was just curious about the other the other method in case I decided on that.
Yeah.
And also now, if I did want to save my information, mm-hmm. I could take that hard drive out and save that.
You know what you could do, too, for about $20, at least I've seen them at Micro Center for that, there are devices that will connect to the hard drive itself and have a USB on the other end of them.
Okay.
And then you can plug that into your laptop, for instance, and it will then show you your hard drive, and you can then drag files off of the hard drive, like pictures or documents or whatever, and drag them onto your laptop and Shazam, or your new computer.
I love that Shazam. That's just
bad. Or even if you don't want to do all that, you could just get the cable that goes with it, take the hard drive, put it on the shelf as a backup, just leave it up there, and then whenever you need it, you just pull it down, plug it in, and do your thing.
Right.
Okay.
And depending on the age of the computer, if you're going to buy that tray, take the hard drive with you to the store to make sure that you buy the right
connector
for that hard drive to connect it to your newer computer.
Now, with that hard drive, before I would say if I take a hammer to it or something or whatever.
She's angling for the hammer.
Would I be able to take like a thumbnail, you know, and transfer my information onto that first, all that information on the computer? Could I do that also?
You could put a USB thumb drive in your computer, have that cable attached to the external hard drive, copy from the external drive, that big external drive, to the USB thumb drive. After you got everything on it, then you could have your way as Thor with that other one.
Okay.
Mother's Day's coming up. You know, knock yourself Have a good time with that. Okay, Mary?
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Mary Ann.
Yeah, it is spring cleaning time, too.
It is. Yeah, still is. All right, let's see if we can wrap things up with Tom from Troy. How you doing, Tom? Welcome to the show.
Good. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you? We're getting close to the end, so how can we help you?
Yeah. Well, it's just kind of a quick one. I was listening to your show, and you were just joking about taking your cell phone scuba diving. I actually did that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, did you?
I've since purchased a new one. But my question is, if a phone has been immersed in salt water, is it possible to salvage the data from it, in particular photographs?
The first thing I would do then, have you turned the phone on since it's been submerged in the water?
No, I tried it. It won't turn on,
Okay, so try this. Take the phone, get a bag of rice, like a one-pound bag of rice, slit it on one side big enough so you can slide that phone into it, and then slide the phone inside that bag of rice, and then close that bag back up like in a Ziploc bag, and let it sit for about 3 days. And then after
this was a couple of weeks ago, so the phone's dried out now.
Not quite, because on the inside of it, there may be still water in there.
Yeah.
Just let it sit. Let it sit in that rice. You know, it's going to cost you maybe $1 for a bag of rice. Don't buy the really good stuff. Cheap is better. And then just let it sit there for about 3 days, and it's going to try and suck all that moisture that's inside that phone out.
Yeah.
Then after that, then get your charger and attempt to charge that phone or power it up. If it powers up, you may have a chance. If it doesn't power up, just kiss it goodbye.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is what about the data recovery group itself?
Is there a company that could disassemble it and somehow get the data out?
As Ed just said, there's a data recovery group in Southfield. I believe that's the name of the company, Data Recovery Group. It's in Southfield, Michigan. You can call them and say, this is the situation with my phone. This is what I did. And is it possible to pull that data off?
And then how much?
They might be able to do it. But then you'll ask them how much it's going to cost. And now you have to weigh whether or not what you have on that phone is worth the price to have it pulled off.
Yep. And then also,
Richie, I do have some photographs which are really valuable to me, and I would be willing to pay for it. But,
give them a call, Tom, and let them let you know what the, and then you can balance out whether that's worth your while. Tom, thanks so much for your call, and good luck with getting those photos back and not scuba diving with your next phone. Unless, of course, it is scuba diveable. Ed, Cal, Gary, thanks so much for being here, guys. And Daniel, thank you so much, as well as Logan Stander for our producer. Have a great weekend, and we will see you here next Saturday on the Internet Advisor.